Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
David Satterfield, the US Special Envoy for Humanitarian Issues, said today that the risk of famine in northern Gaza remains very high, despite aid increasing to the territory. Also today, Germany has said it will restore funding to UNRWA after an independent review said Israel had not provided evidence to back up claims UNRWA employees were members of terrorist organizations. The health ministry in Gaza claimed today that the total number of Palestinians killed during Israel's military assault on the territory has risen to 34,262 at this point, they say. While we can see the physical toll of the Israel-Hamas war with the deaths and injuries and threat of famine, what is the mental health impact for Palestinians? It's not a question we conjure with very often. I'm joined now by psychiatrist Dr. Sama Jaber, who's the chair of the Palestinian Ministry of Health's Mental Health Unit. She is a staff of only 34 psychiatrists to deal with the mental health needs of 5 million Palestinians. Dr. Sama Jaber, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a huge task that you and your team have, isn't it? 34 psychiatrists to deal with the mental health needs of 5 million Palestinians. But we're not just talking in one way, Dr. Jaber, about this current conflict and the mental health difficulties that may arise from it. The blockade of Gaza has been ongoing for 17 years. So even before the current war, Gazans had one of the world's worst rate of mental illness. Is that so?
Well, I don't think that we can measure the psychological impact by using the individual measurement unit. And I'm a little worried about all these studies that suggest that 80% of children in Gaza suffer from depression and 70% of adults suffer from depression. I think people suffer from occupation and siege and violation, continuous and accumulative violation of their human rights. And the problem with the those studies that pathologize the individuals is that they depoliticize and they ignore the all the violation of human rights of the people in Gaza. Now, this was the situation before the latest escalation. Numbers suggested a huge prevalence of mental disorder, PTSD, depression, anxiety, and so on. Food insecurity was 60% in Gaza. Unemployment and poverty were above 50%. Now, with the ongoing crisis, we really cannot describe the impact on the people. I think the physical damage, the material damage is so huge. Life loss is so huge. And we can imagine how many people suffer from pathological grief, traumatic grief of family members. Many people left their loved ones under the rubble and had to escape. Almost everyone I know in Gaza lost their home. They are displaced. So we can imagine that this will last for a very long time and after the end of this physical assault.
And in terms of what we're discussing here, mental health, is that in any way, Dr. Jaber, in any way prioritized or in focus right now when physical injury and fatality is so dominant in the region?
Well, we have for so long in Palestine, we are a very small number of professionals specialized in mental health, but we have prioritized mental health and integrated mental health into primary health care and school health in general. And we had a functional system in Gaza. I was involved. I come from Jerusalem and I'm responsible for mental health services in the West Bank, but I used to go frequently to Gaza to work with colleagues on developing a functional mental health system. Now, everything was crushed. The health system in general was especially targeted, including the mental health system. The psychiatric hospital was demolished from the first month, and 5 out of the 6 community mental health centers and the 2 out of the 7 psychiatrists had to leave Gaza. And I know 4 professionals in the field of mental health who were killed At least those are people that I know personally. I'm talking about four out of a small number of professionals, psychologists, psychiatric nurses, and professionals. So we can imagine that who can do the work? Okay, people were trained on to provide psychological first aid, integration of mental health in primary health care, and trauma treatment, but they are affected themselves. So how can they provide help when there is no safe place?
And can they?
When there is no... we train people during COVID time to provide teletherapy, mm-hmm. but with no internet, with no electricity, how can people in Gaza receive teletherapy?
And as you say, an awful lot of the health facilities have been at least damaged. So, but can they do the work, the psychiatrists? Are they able, or have they suffered so badly themselves mentally that they're unable to do the work?
It is so difficult when people are not reassured about their physical safety, and when there is absence and deprivation of basic needs like food, water, medicine, it's very difficult to provide mental health support. And of course, they will need help from people outside Gaza, mainly Palestinians from the West Bank and Jerusalem, and Palestinians in 48 areas, but also many people in the neighboring Arab countries can contribute to the task force of helping people in Gaza.
In reading Sama for this interview, I was I read about a Middle East current psychiatry study that was published last year, I think, and they said that you can't deal with PTSD, for example, in Palestine without dealing with the root of the problem, and they mention occupation. But it struck me that that's going to be extremely difficult after the current conflict, because if you talk to an Israeli as a government spokesperson, they will say the conflict could end right now if Hamas were gone off the stage, let's say. What would you say to that? What is the solution here?
Well, I think the Palestinian experience can be best understood within the framework of colonial trauma that attacks not only the individuals, but also the identity, the relationships, the history, the memory of people. And whatever Israel is saying are stereotypes to smear the reputation and the representation of Palestinians. And this is part of the colonial attack on Palestinians. Of course, in Palestine, we question the P of the PTSD, because we are never in the post phase. Trauma is cumulative, chronic, and cross-generational. And the treatment of our trauma includes ending the occupation and restoring human rights to Palestinians. And then we can deal with the sick individuals.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be very difficult, given the scale of fatality. Can I ask you... finally then, Dr. Jabbar, about this Arabic word that I've read about, and I'm going to mispronounce it, sumud. Is it resilience? Mm-hmm. I know you're impressed with the resilience of Gazans and Palestinian people, mentally and psychologically.
Sumud is steadfastness, perseverance, defiance of all the efforts that aim to uproot Palestinians. And we know that the attack on the Palestinian community is an attack to displace Palestinians, at least, but also to annihilate them if they resist. And all efforts that Palestinians do in order to stay rooted in their land are part of the sumud. Sumud can be an individualistic quality or a collective quality as well. It goes beyond resilience. It is not only a state of mind, it is action oriented.
Okay, can I thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. That's psychiatrist Dr. Sama Jabbar, who's chair of the Palestinian Ministry of Health's Mental Health Unit.